We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another awesome episode of Ask Drone U. My name is Paul.
And I'm Rob. We're doing the silent intro today. And this is podcast number 274. And guys, we thank you for joining us today. It is a beautiful day here in Albuquerque. Another, I don't know, it's probably going to be mid-60s, right around 70. Very little wind. Yeah, you can all be jealous.
I hear it's snowing in the Northeast.
That's right.
Man.
Actually.
That sounds pleasant.
We're headed out east here in a couple days. And
you are.
We're taking the good weather with us because it's supposed to get into like 40s and maybe even hit 50 when we're back east.
Where are you going?
Back east. I thought you knew. That's why we're going to be out of town.
I didn't get the answer. Where are you going?
We're going to NYC.
Oh, one of those trips. Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, I hope you enjoy. It's supposed to snow, from what I hear.
It actually is supposed to rain. It's going to be too warm for snow.
But gotcha.
Last weekend, I think it was like negative territory out there.
Yes, it was. I would just recommend you don't fly your drone in Manhattan.
Really? Not even a Sema? That's the only drone I have, Paul, is my Sema.
Please take it with you and take a picture of you flying in Central Park.
Okay.
Please. Please. Anyway, guys, welcome to another awesome episode. Special thanks to everyone who helps us out with these episodes. Special thanks to GPC and Drone U. If you want to progress this industry with education, help us do so with the Don't Crash Course.
Don'tCrashCourse.com.
Yes. Today we're talking about something a little deeper than normal. I love the business stuff, but we're not talking about that today. I love...
Kind of, sort of.
Well, it depends on how you look at it.
Yeah, it does. True.
So in our upcoming book, we talk about a lot about how drones will affect human life in the future. And
right.
This is a very good example of how drones will positively affect drones in... Or excuse me, how they will positively affect humans. Well, I guess some humans are drones, depending on how you look at it. Just set on autopilot all the time.
It reminds me of that song by Dave Matthews Band, Ants Go Marching. That song's always stuck with me.
Interesting.
So when you talk about humans being drones, I think of the ant, us humans just marching.
You know what?
We're not going to be those humans, okay?
Dave Matthews Band is good, so I'm going to let you slide with that. But it made me feel really young there for a second. I didn't know the song you're talking about.
And you still don't?
No.
You would if you heard it.
I'm sure I would.
I know everybody out there knows exactly what I'm talking
Everyone
about.
Everyone is like having a more disconnect with me than they are with you right
Probably.
Now.
Probably.
So, anyway, we're going to be talking about agriculture. We're going to be talking about how drones can really affect agriculture and the way that farmers really conduct business and create more efficiency. And one of the things I've heard a lot from small businesses or farmers that have 1,000 to 2,000 acres is that they desperately need to reduce costs and increase the quality of their material because a lot of them don't even eat their own food that they create. It's something that I've been reading about.
That's a little scary.
It is scary. It is absolutely scary. And I think it's because of, you know, the things that they spray on the plants.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about the DJI Agris MG1 drone. We're also going to have a little update on registration, but I will say this, Rob. Tomorrow's episode?
Yes.
We're going deep. We're going deep in registration. We've got a couple days left. What should you do? We're going to update you on numbers. We're also going to give the podcast listeners some info that has been out with the membership for quite some time. So if you're a Drone U member, some of this will not be news to you, but we're going to talk about why I decided to make the plunge into getting a 333.
Yep.
We're going to talk about some of the really nasty issues that are going on in the drone community, such as, you know, people calling the FAA on each other and how unhelpful that is for the industry as a whole. And we're going to talk about the cheapest, most efficient way to get your pilot's license if you want to fly the most profitable industries with drones, because they do have higher standards. And from the meetings that I've been in, they can they say they will maintain these higher standards even with the NPR M107. They're familiar with it, and they're still going to maintain these higher standards, which I don't really understand. I think it's a protectionist move, but we're going to talk about that tomorrow, and I'm really excited about that. I'm really excited to tell all of you guys, too, what a process this has been, because it is...
And it's ongoing. It's not
yet. It's not. It hasn't stopped.
Well, and one of the other things that I think we're going to touch on, correct me if I'm wrong, Paul, is the... Has there been any change in terms of the significance of the 333 relative to some of the news that's come out with the AIR Act, et cetera?
I think, well, we will talk about that tomorrow. I think it's more of a perspective shift. But, you know, I say this again. We now know that there are 3,300 triple threes, right? But if we look back at the statistics from InterDrone, we know that 75% of the drone population that operates commercially does not nor intend to get a 333.
Right.
And that was in September of last year. So has that changed? Maybe. But we're going to go over that because think about it. If 3,300 people represent 25% of the market of actual commercial operators, that means there are about, what, 12,000 commercial operators in the United States?
Yeah, and I would say that's probably conservative.
I would agree with that.
Probably a lot more than that. And then you start talking about what do you consider a commercial operator?
Yeah.
The guy that just, you know, does a house every now and then or has a realtor friend who pays him to do a house. I mean, it gets pretty gray.
Yeah, true. And I think it's also, we're going to talk about, you know, someone asked the question of can I make money with my drone? Well, it depends. It depends on what you do. I mean, it really depends. It really depends on perspective, too, because I've met with Fortune 500 companies that are aware of what's going on with the FAA. And they don't care. And it's like, we're going to take our chances either way. And it's right. that was surprising for me to hear. It was very surprising for me to hear. Very excited to talk about that. Excited to talk about how we have figured out the cheapest, fastest, most efficient way to get your pilot's license. And it's very different from what you've seen on The Verge. So I'm really excited about what's coming out. And I think tomorrow is going to be a long episode. I was going to produce this episode, but thanks to presentations that I have to complete and book interviews and all these fun things, I couldn't do it. So just overrun.
Better luck next time.
I finally said it. I'm overwhelmed. But making through it. So that's good. And I want to make sure you guys, you know, stay happy. And one of the things that's really made me happy is all of the feedback that we've been getting on Instagram, all the posts that you've been sending in, and all the beautiful photos that we've seen. And I just want to say thank you for that. And thank you to the loyal following. On Instagram, we broke 20,000 followers this weekend.
That's actually very exciting because that was done basically in about a year.
Yeah, about 13 months.
Yeah.
So very excited about that. We are growing every day. And you know what? I just we say it every morning that we appreciate our listeners, but we really do. So thank you very much.
We do. And we know that we can't do this without our listeners. And we really can't do this without your questions.
Absolutely.
So don't forget to send in your questions. We know that if you're out there flying, you have questions. It's inevitable. Even if Paul's out there flying, questions come to mind.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
So he's not. You've not sent in a question.
Hmm.
Anyways, askadroneu.com. Send in those questions. Use the accents if you're brave. Again, we don't judge your accents.
I really, really like your accents.
We do. We love them. They're fun.
My favorite one. You know what my favorite one is?
It's probably Wondrous. It's probably Quad Guy 27.
I have two favorites now that you said that.
Oh.
My favorite one was the pirate. Remember the pirate? Yar, I got a question about me drone. I'm trying to fly it beyond the bow, and I need to go around it. That was my favorite one. But yes, Quad Guy 27. I've got another Wondrous question for you, drone you.
Yeah, we haven't heard from him in a little while.
Well, he has been commenting avidly on Instagram.
I have seen that, yes. He's all over Instagram, which we appreciate that, too.
No, we do.
Interact wherever you
and it's really awesome to see other members ask or answer other people's questions.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's the whole point of Drone U. Spread the knowledge. Spread the love. We all love to fly. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
Progress the industry. Grassroots. That's what we're doing. And it's working. And I just love it. So
guys, grassroots might be leading us into our question today. Is that not good?
No, I love it. Let's just go play the question.
Hey guys, it's Brett from Illinois. I just had a couple questions and a thought here. First, have you guys heard anything about the Agris MG1, the new DJI drone that does agri spraying? I know I talked to you guys earlier in the spring about a helicopter one that was there, but this is a new one that's about a $15,000 drone. The last thing is just if you guys have heard anything more on the registration as an update, I don't need to have a whole show on it. Obviously, we've heard it all, but just curious as to see what the latest update is on it. And that's it. Thanks, guys. Love the show. Talk to you later. Bye.
Definitely appreciate that question. And I really love this question because a lot of people don't understand that there are multiple layers of benefits when it comes to using drones for spraying.
Right.
It's something that we talk about in the book. You know, the traditional means of spraying is either from those long carts that, you know, literally move along the crops and spray that can be affected by the wind. Or they use a plane and they literally crop dust their vast fields.
Right.
Why is that an issue? Well, you think about a plane, right? Where is the jet wash or the rotor wash from a plane, right? If we've got a plane that's moving along, the jet wash is behind the plane. Well, when you're spraying stuff, what is literally happening is all of that material is going behind the aircraft. It's not really reaching the bottom of the plant where it needs to go.
Yeah, much of it's dissipating before it ever gets close to the plants.
Exactly. And when I was doing research about 3 years ago on this, we found that 75% of all the material sprayed out of a plane was wasted.
That's higher than I would have imagined. That's a huge number.
That is a huge number. Why is it so beneficial to have a drone spraying? Because the rotor wash is straight down. So they use less material, so less herbicides, less pesticides, which we know are causes of cancer. And we also are pushing that material straight to the ground where it really needs to be absorbed in the plant properly.
And so also you can be closer to the ground, right, and fly slower.
Exactly.
Which I think, and you don't want to fly too slow. I mean, there's an efficiency quotient there, but.
True, but the benefit also there is you're more precise. So if you fly a field, right, and you realize, okay, I've got this 1,000 acres and I only have a problem over here. You know, instead of spraying the whole field or the whole portion of that field, you just spray the problem area. So I think this is going to have a huge effect on human life. I mean, I think it's going to have a huge effect on health, on the quality of food that we eat. And also, it's going to have a huge effect on the farmer, a positive effect. They're more efficient. They're going to be safer. The quality of food is going to go up.
Yeah, and obviously, it's a little bit easier on them financially, which we know farmers, it can be a tough road for them, particularly in tough years.
Yeah.
But even before we get to the point of knowing where to spray, it's just, we won't necessarily talk about it here today, but before we get to that point, knowing where to spray, that's another use of drones.
Absolutely. And that's just, you know, utilizing the drones to collect the data and then utilizing another drone to utilize the data to make decisions and make applications of, say, herbicides, pesticides, fertilizer, all of those things. But here's my question of the day for you, Rob.
Uh-oh.
How long, and I'll give you a hint, how long have drones been used in agriculture?
Agriculture. I'm going to say 30 years.
Very close, very close. Since 1988.
88, so 28 years. My bad.
Yeah, so... Anyway, they've been used since the early 90s, and some say that it even dates back further than that. But do you know where they've been used for that long?
Kansas.
No. Are you kidding? Our government is so behind the times. Are you kidding me?
England.
Think of what companies developed the fastest in modern days.
What companies?
Countries.
Countries developed the fastest.
In the last 30 years.
Dang it, I'm stumped. A little help? I don't know.
Let's think of Asian countries.
Okay.
You no guess?
China, Japan.
Japan! Boom! Woo! Now, why is that a big deal? Because Japan has such a limited amount of space to grow. So they have got to be the most efficient they possibly can.
Those guys, they're awesome. I mean, they grow on hills, and they use every square foot of land they can find. It's
absolutely
fascinating.
Well, absolutely. But, I mean, I think that proves a point here is that people don't search for alternative means until they're presented with a problem.
Absolutely. No. So. Necessity breeds ingenuity or something along
those
lines.
Yeah, something along those. I don't know those old man terms, but you know.
Well, that may not be one. If not, maybe we've coined one. I don't know. Anyways.
You know what? I wouldn't surprise me because there are some brilliant things that come out of that bald head of yours. I am not trying to break you down either. I just want to say how much I appreciate your baldness. But since they have been used for a very long period of time, there is a drone that has been the cornerstone of agriculture use. Do you know which drone that is?
I assume you're talking about the Yamaha.
Yes.
R-Max.
That's right. And
that's, for some reason, I had it in my mind that that was a manned unit, but it's not.
It's not a manned unit. It is a very large drone.
Okay.
So the question says, you know, what do you think of the DJI Agris MG1? And what do I think? I think it's cool. But I think really the opinion comes down to you, Rob, because I mean,
really?
Yeah, you're the mathematician. You are the guy that says, all right, if we're looking at this from an economic standpoint and I have to use X number of batteries, take off and land X number of times, and then I've got to spray X number of acres versus the R-Max helicopter. So we are going to present you with a comparison of the DJI Agris MG1 drone, which isn't it like 16 motors? It's a dual octo. I don't even know what you would call
it. Is it really?
I believe so.
I know it's got 8 arms, but I don't know that it has like a motor on both sides.
I'm pretty sure it has 16 motors.
Wow, okay.
So anyway, that being said, the R-Max helicopter by Yamaha has one motor. It is a variable pitch prop. So it's just like a standard helicopter, right?
Right.
But it's a gas engine. So.
And it's autonomous, right?
It is autonomous, yes. It has many great features. It's been using things like VPS for years. So it really is great. Now, if we look at the Agris 1, they say they can spray about 7 to 10 acres an hour.
Right.
What about the R-Max, though?
So we did and mind you, everybody, we've not gone into real detail in terms of analysis of this because, frankly, we don't need to.
Yeah.
But if we were a farmer or if we were maybe one of you out there that wants to turn this into a business, then obviously we would do that. And if you've got those kinds of questions that go a little bit deeper on analyzing these things, we'd love to get into that.
Rob is your man.
I mean, it's a sickness, but I actually enjoy it. Anyways.
What you don't know about Rob is that numbers make him tick.
They make me happy.
So yeah. Does beer.
And especially big numbers. And good beer. Yeah,
yes.
That's right.
Elevated IPA.
I'm not going to lie. Cumbres, it's pretty good stuff. Anyway, but in limited quantities. Right?
Yeah, right.
I will say that they come in 16-ounce cans.
Diesels.
I can't help that. It wasn't my idea.
In college, we called that diesels. On the lacrosse team, we actually tried to get the bigger cans because you could drink the whole thing on the field.
Yeah, like the Schlitz big can. Don't lie.
Anyway, we're getting off topic.
Yeah, but that's like fun. Anyways.
I will say the R-Max helicopter could be really good for growing better quality hops to put in your beer.
There you go.
Whoa.
There you go. Now we're connecting things the right way. No, so the R-Max, it says it can do basically a couple of acres every 6 minutes.
So 2 acres every 6 minutes?
So which would be what, 20 acres an hour?
Yes, so doubling the efficiency of the DJI MG1.
Yeah, so in a very, very basic and simple analysis, we're talking about roughly a $90,000 unit compared to $15,000.
That's true.
Right?
But the thing is that now Yamaha, and I was just reading this, won't even sell you the R-Max anymore. You have to rent it with a maintenance package. And they wouldn't go into detail on how much that costs. So
interesting. Recurring
yes.
revenue.
Recurring
Everybody's
revenue.
After it.
Yep. Well, that's because it breeds safety.
Which, oh man, that makes me go into so many different things we could be talking about to help you guys out there. But we can do that another time because, believe it or not, there's a lot of ways that you, even as a drone pilot, can generate recurring revenue in what you're doing. But we'll get into that maybe some other time. So, yeah, it seems as though the Agris is maybe a little bit more efficient and a better way to go.
Yes. Well,
it's new, though. I mean, it just came out last year,
It did
year,
just
right?
come out. We haven't been able to test it, clearly. I'm not even sure that we would be able to test it in the best of means unless we went over some chili farms. But, hey.
I'd be all right.
I'm down with some green chili.
We got the Bisti Nappy up north.
That's true. That's true.
Potato farms.
Interesting. Okay.
Corn.
I don't know about the corn.
Okay. Well, anyways.
I'm not
maybe
corny.
Maybe we can test it for some folks.
Yeah. No, I think it would be really cool. But if we were to break that down, you know, $15,000, what would be the required maintenance on that for a year? You know, you're getting 7 to 10 acres per hour, but you have a limited battery capacity. And we don't really know what that flight time looks like. Again, it's a number on a piece of paper. We don't know what real life is. But we do know, based on fuel capacity, low elevation, we know, you know, basic things about the helicopter, that we could probably fly the R-Max for about an hour, hour and 15 minutes. So we could literally get 20 acres done per hour. Here's the other beautiful part. Would you have to be on the sticks the whole hour?
No.
That's right.
So, I mean, obviously you're going to be hanging out there, right? You're not going to push the button, let the drone go, and then go, I don't know.
Well, this kind of makes me ask the question about the whole drinking and droning, because
we don't do that, Paul.
Clearly, we don't do
that.
It's
a no, Paul.
But if you just press a button and you're sitting there and you're like, man, look at that drone.
It's still a no, Paul.
Oh, no, man.
Nice try. So my question for you is, and I don't know if you know this, but what could somebody charge for doing something like this? A per acre? Do we have any idea what the going rate on that is? Maybe someone out there knows.
We broke down the savings per acre like a long time ago, and I think it was like $23 an acre of savings. That is so ambiguous and speculative, so do not run with that, people. That being said, I don't really know what you could charge, but as great of a system as this is, I would rather see people develop an all-inclusive system. Imagine gridlock for this purpose right now. Imagine an all-inclusive system where the drone flies, collects the data of information of where problem areas are, and then farmer hits the button. All right, I've seen the data. Software says, here. Let's take that, move it into our autonomy app. All right, drone, fly here, and I'm going to go outside and fill up the tank with this herbicide, and go. I mean, if you had that all-inclusive system, and I mean, even people who have spoken on this topic say, the big money is not in flying farms. The big money is providing interpretation of the data. Because if you can marry the collection of data, to the interpretation, to the application, and have that all-in-one inclusive system, you just created a whole new infrastructure.
Absolutely.
For farms. So,
yeah, anyway. It's doable, and the need is there.
The need is there.
Now, I don't know what kind of equipment. So we talked about the big sprayers that they're using now, but they're also using manual machines, right?
That's correct.
Those cannot be cheap.
Well, yeah, and you wonder, you know, what is the cost of a plane to do it per hour?
Yeah, I don't know. A lot.
Well, it would be interesting to know We obviously know there's a massive savings because people are doing it. And it also provides an outlet for farmers to decrease costs. You want to know a funny thing. Do you know why powered parachutes became popular in the 80s? I learned this when I was doing my flight training and something we'll talk about tomorrow.
Why?
Because farmers found them to be simple, cheap vehicles where they could fly over their properties regularly and see their crops from above. I did not know that until like a month ago.
So just a farmer being creative, basically, is what you're telling me. That's cool.
I mean, think about it. Instead of buying a new pickup truck, they buy a powered parachute.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
So
no, that makes a lot of sense.
So sell your Suburban and buy me a powered parachute.
Okay. How much is a powered parachute, by the way?
Brand new, $40,000.
All right, well.
So you can get them for like 10. Though, yeah. And there's two different types: experimental and SLSA, which means special light sport aircraft. So
you can get them for 10 because it's like buying a treadmill on Craigslist. Somebody buys it and then doesn't use it, or what?
You can buy them for 10 because you don't know who built it and you don't know who did maintenance on it. There are logbooks for these things. Don't get me wrong, but at the end of the day, you don't really know who built it. That's what the differentiating factor was communicated to me.
So. Gotcha. Interesting. Okay. So anyways, Brett, the bottom line is the Agra seems like a really great solution.
Absolutely. Especially for the price. I mean, I think the limiting factor is, again, all limiting factors for drones, which is endurance, you know? So yeah. I think it can provide an absolute benefit to many, many people. And I'm really excited to see it. Although this brings in the question of, you know, with the whole AIR Act and the micro UAS ruling, you know, if they could make it easy for farmers to get these Agris drones, which I doubt weigh less than 4 pounds.
Pretty sure not.
When you have a 10-kilogram payload, it doesn't weigh 4 pounds. Anyway, that being said, it's interesting to see if the Farmers Bureau or lobbying will step up to get this drone, you know, into the eyes and make an exemption with Congress. That's what it seems like how our government is working is what I'm learning, is that there are rules, but we can create exemptions to these rules to allow special people to do what they want to do. Why not just let everyone do it? Isn't that what capitalism is all about?
It's the way it's always been, and I just don't think it's going to change anytime soon.
Unless something crazy happens.
We'll talk about that on another podcast.
Yeah, we're not going to go down that rabbit hole.
Whatever that
craziness might
be.
Because there are tons of political podcasts that talk about that stuff.
That's right,
and we want nothing to do with them. So anyway, guys, Love that question. Again, we're going to go into many of the questions because the other half of this question was, "What is the latest date on? What is the latest update on registrations?" Well, you know, the FAA has been touting that there are more registered drone pilots than there are manned aircraft, which is true. But remember, they're registering people, not aircraft themselves. And also remember, there are about 3.5 million drones in the airspace today, and that's not counting all the DIY projects. That's not counting the FPV racers. So there could easily be 10 million drones in the United States, and wow. 300,000 people have registered. So there's a large gap there. It is still being I spoke with John Rupert this weekend, and we talked about registration, and we talked about what's going on with that. It seems that they're going to have a difficult time, but the future looks bright. And
looks bright for registration. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
I will say this though. I think one of the big differentiating factors that could be used as evidence, who knows, probably not, but was the representative from Illinois who put the amendment in the AIR Act, the reauthorization bill for the FAA, to have micro UAS, and his statement that he said, you know, what is the FAA really doing for safety? Because in our eyes, they're not doing anything. Mm. So I think maybe the courts will kind of get that idea that registration really does nothing for safety. The fact that drones have been operating in the airspace since 81, technically, if we're going to call them model aircraft drones, without really any injuries or any death. There was one guy, though, in New York City who was flying a helicopter, and he's actually a friend of one of our members, so I want to be careful what I say. But he had a terrible accident where he was flying a single-rotor helicopter and flew it into himself, so
ooh.
On accident.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, it is awful. So there have been accidents, but very few, very, very, very few. So when people say drones have never killed anyone, well, the consumer drones that we all know today, that is correct. But there have been accidents in the past. But again, we've been doing this for years and years and years without an issue. It seems that registration isn't the answer.
Yeah, and that's all true. We just have to stay ahead of that curve because we want to keep from having any of those accidents.
Yes.
And that just means educating everybody that's listening and everybody that is at least engaged with DroneU and others like us, perhaps, I think you're engaged in the process, and that's a good thing. Let's keep that going.
Absolutely. And the other thing is, too, we've talked about this before. We've got a lot of new listeners that come on every day. People say, well, I don't want to get a fine for not registering when it's so simple to register. But you've got to remember the difference between the old form of registration and the new form of registration. The new form is you're creating a contract with the FAA saying that you're not going to do certain things that are not law. There's no legally binding aspect of that, of what they say you can and can't do, unless you agree to the terms and create that contract with registration.
That's part 48 online that you're talking
correct.
About there.
If you go to your local FISDO office and you register your drone the old paper route, which hopefully Mr. John, producer guy, and myself can make a video on, is how to fill out these registrations, because it's tedious, but you're registered.
Well,
so if they say, well, where's your registration number? You'd be like, here's my pink form. And remember, it's so old and antiquated, it could literally shut down the entire registration system if enough of these paper forms were sent in.
Well, the thing about, while it is tedious and there are certainly a couple of areas on there that you got to make sure you get right, you got to make sure you get it all right, but a couple of them might be a little more complex than others. It's a relatively simple form.
Yes.
In terms of just the volume of information that it's asking for, it's doesn't seem horribly complex.
That's true.
Okay.
That's very true.
I want to make sure, because I think there's been some expectation out there that it is more of a complex, several pages. It's not.
Well, I think the bigger issue is that, again, the system is so old and antiquated, they want to see things done a certain way. And if it's not done perfectly to that certain way, then it's all wrong. It's that old man, really old man mentality, where they take things way too seriously. And it's just like, guys, you know what? You can have a simple mistake. It still means that a lowercase b is a b, and that means that it is this type of category. It's just ridiculous. So, and that's why, again, register the paper route.
Part 47. From your local FISDO office.
Yep. And tomorrow is going to be an interesting episode because it's going to get passionate real quick.
Oh, boy. Don't bring your kids to this podcast. I'm kidding. We'll keep it family friendly.
We will. I promise not to cuss. I've only done it once, and that was because it mistakenly got out. But I do cuss, just not on the podcast. So I've been getting better about it, Rob.
Really?
Well, that doesn't give us confidence. On that bombshell, that's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
And I'm Rob.
And this is Ask a Drone You.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone You.